those who were there was State Senator Tony Boucher, Republican from the 26th Senatorial District. Senator, good morning. Welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Senator, explain to our audience, first of all, why you went to this conference on Monday.
Well, I thought it was important to attend. In fact, I'm disappointed that not every single legislator did not attend. You have to know your competition to be able to fight back. You've got to learn what they're doing so that you can enact policies that are as good, if not better, than theirs. So, you know, it was a very interesting meeting. This governor came to Connecticut to entice businesses to just give up and move to the Sunshine State. But you know what? Competition for Connecticut is not just Florida. It's Texas. It's Massachusetts. It's New Hampshire. It's even Rhode Island. So it's time to stop putting our heads in the sand and look at the reality of the fiscal situation that we're in. And we need to develop proposals that takes on states like Florida and Texas that are trying to poach our businesses and residents away, and they're doing this by a great deal of amount. We need to stop it.
So what did you learn from Governor Rick Scott on Monday?
Well, he said that and the question was asked, if you were the governor of Connecticut, what would you do? And he said, well, I'd do the exact opposite of what Connecticut is doing now. He said, you know, I would balance the budget. I'd stop spending more than you can afford. I would look at every single department with a fine-tooth comb, look at where they can be economized, made more efficient. He found that in looking at that in Florida, for example, the department that worked with the unemployment insurance claims that came in, he said that they were working 6 days a week. And when he asked them why, and he said, well, some people just can't reach us until Saturday. And I said, well, these are unemployed, right? And they agreed and said, well, Monday through Friday would be just fine. So he made some changes there. He said he focused on job creation, the budget and education. And by doing that, for example, and really looking at jobs, he found that, for example, Florida overregulated. They have the advantage, however, of not having a state income tax or inheritance tax, and that was an original draw. But he wanted to make it even easier for businesses. He just didn't want retirees to move there because jobs was his complete focus. So he reduced a lot of regulation. He cut taxes by nearly $7 billion over the period that he was there. And he focused on education in a way that education addresses the actual job needs, the training to get jobs. And he tried to halt tuition increases at colleges and higher education, which is something Connecticut desperately needs to do because we need access. As you know, I've said this to you many times, we need to make sure access to higher education is as affordable and as wide as possible because the only way we can change and improve the income gap is to close the education gap. You know, these very affluent communities in Connecticut, by a large degree, their population has advanced degrees, they have college degrees, they have professional degrees, they have certifications, and as a result, they earn more and they pay more in taxes. We want to do that for everyone.
Now, the Hartford Courant is out with an editorial this morning saying, Florida, no thanks, and it writes in the editorial, Connecticut beats Florida in median income, percent of children attending preschool, percent of high schoolers graduating on time, percent with a college education, civic engagement, volunteerism, and more, according to a recent study. Florida has more poverty, more violent crime, and more disconnected youth, the study found. So what do you say to that?
Well, of course, they have a much larger population, much larger than Connecticut's, for sure. But we do absolutely have the best workforce, the most educated workforce, the most productive workforce. But guess what? We don't have the jobs. And that's why they're leaving in droves. Connecticut has lost population, has the weakest job growth in the entire Northeast, has the highest unemployment in the entire Northeast. Massachusetts, Rhode Island, they gained 300% to 200% of the job loss. Their unemployment rates are 2.3%. What ours is nearly 5%, and it's been growing, our unemployment. You can't tell me that Connecticut isn't in deep trouble. Ask every single person you meet on the street. They have one foot out the door, and we have to stop it, change the direction, and there is hope. So my message is, you know, don't give up on Connecticut. Connecticut lawmakers ought to change policies, have a budget that they can pass, and the good news that is that Republicans have gained more seats than they've ever had. We're tied in the Senate. So we have certainly a seat at the table now, and our voice is louder than ever before, and we're fighting like crazy to put our state back on a new path to stability.
Of course, you know, a lot of what you say, Senator, I agree with, but I'm attempting to try to get the story out and play devil's advocate. And the Stanford Advocate, perhaps you know this, Sean Goldrick, who served two terms on the Board of Estimate and Taxation on the Greenwich Finance Board, wrote an op-ed piece, and he says a lot of what, not you specifically, but a lot of what the Republicans are saying are nothing more than, in his words, right-wing talking points. He says since Governor Malloy was elected governor, we've actually increased the number of billionaires in the state from 11 billionaires to 17 billionaires. He says that we have actually created, under Governor Malloy, 80,000 private sector jobs, and that he has cut government jobs, Governor Malloy, by 10,000. So what do you say to that?
Well, the statistics speak for themselves. How can anyone say that with a straight face? It's simply not true. If, in fact, the individuals have become more affluent, it has nothing to do with Connecticut. It has everything to do with Wall Street. So many of the individuals he's talking about work for the investment world and the hedge fund industry, which 30% of the world's hedge funds are located right here in Connecticut in Greenwich. So as their investment returns improve, so does their income. And so do the taxes they pay. But how many of them have left Connecticut or about to leave Connecticut? We have seen that group's income contribution in taxes to Connecticut be at $600 million, and it's been in the last 4 or 5 years have been reduced to $200 million. Why is Connecticut, therefore, if things are so great, have been in deficit year after year after year since this administration has taken over, when other states have come out of the recession and deficits and are on the uphill climb? You know, the facts just prove that this is not true. And people on the street get it. When you have GE leaving, then you have Aetna 1 foot out the door, and rank-and-file businesses also telling me everywhere I go, when you have more houses on the market in towns that I represent in Lower Fairfield County than in the history of the town's real estate market, and realtors telling me that everyone is trying to get out. This is not, you know, this is, again, putting your head in the sand, not waking up to reality, and further exacerbating when every Wall Street firm, when municipal bond publications say that we're just 1 foot closer to where Puerto Rico is and Illinois towards insolvency, when we have an unfunded liability of our pension fund payments at historic widening, so that we have had a series of downgrades. I can go on and on, but the picture is bleak, but the future is bright, because we have had historic change in numbers in our General Assembly, in the House and Senate, this November. Okay. You know, Connecticut went to Hillary Clinton in the last election, but it went to Republicans by the largest margins we've ever had during a presidential year. We are now tied in the Senate, and we're close to being tied in the House. That says a great deal and counters any kind of whitewashing of the current situation Connecticut is in. It does no good service to ignore the reality. It's we need to face the facts and fix the problems and move our state in a different, new, better direction as soon as possible.
Talking with State Senator Tony Boucher. Senator, a couple of more questions. Do you think we will get a budget by the end of the fiscal year, which is just 9 days away?
Well, I don't think we will. I think that right now the governor has negotiated some contracts and is waiting to hear whether it's accepted or not by the rank and file of state employee unions. The Republicans have put out a couple of really good budgets that are line item by line item that have been vetted in great detail, and we're not yet in agreement, but we're sitting down at the table negotiating as quickly as possible. However, I don't see it happening by July 1, which is the end of fiscal year, and it may even be July or August. Let's hope it's at least by September. But the irresponsibility of not having a budget a couple of months ago so that our towns and schools can get on with running their businesses is really putting all of our towns and schools in a holding pattern. They're very upset about it. How do they plan? How do they plan how many teachers they're going to have in their school building? You know, and this just puts everybody in a very bad situation. I think it's patently irresponsible. The fact that even the proposal was put out to put $400 million of pension fund payments for teachers' pension and put them onto the town's back when, since 1970, the state assumed all costs for that is also another panic and trigger point for local school budgets. This is wrong, and our budgets, our alternative budgets, do not go in that direction. Restore those funding and find other ways to reduce spending. You know, we should take a lesson from what's happened down in Florida and reverse things. Things weren't always great down there either. That was pointed out. They had a reverse course as well, and they've done that. They've done it very well, and as a result, they keep growing.
Now, do you think that this is a crossroads for the state of Connecticut? This is, in other words, golden opportunity to try to get it right this time around and end the systemic budget deficits.
I agree. We are at a crossroads. And we can't go down the same path. It's brought us to the edge and a cliff. We have to turn back and do the responsible things. That means being more efficient with the current tax dollars, not tax anybody more. They've had it. They've had enough of taxation. That's what's driving people out. So we have to ask for concessions, to right-size government, to make sure that benefits and pensions and health care is similar to what the public is experiencing, what they have to do. In fact, you know, our teachers have to spend down $4,000 in their health care plan before they get any benefit from it. In at the state level, there's none of that. They contribute so much more to their own pension funds. They've converted to defined contribution plans. The state government has not done any of those things. There's a lot of room for improvement. In fact, I would maintain there's anywhere between $1 and $2 billion in savings right there. So we can solve the problem without going back to the taxpayers one more time, because as I said to you before, they've had enough.
Senator Boucher, always a pleasure. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
It's always really helpful to be with you. Thank you for getting our message out.
You're welcome. State Senator Tony Boucher, open phone time coming up. 8-